Finally, today, we mark the anniversary of an invention that forever changed the way we think about music, the phonograph. Let's let our music guy, David Was, drop the needle.
It was a scant 130 years ago that Thomas Alva Edison was busy refining the telegraph and the telephone, trying to figure out a way to preserve messages so they needn't be rekeyed or respoken many times before reaching their final destination.
The first words I spoke in the original phonograph.
His own voice was supposedly the first ever recorded, humbly intoning a well-known nursery rhyme.
And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Dictation machines were the immediate goal, and the inventor's original patent was for a contraption called the Edison Speaking Phonograph, just a hop, skip, and a jump from the hallowed day when you could ignore the ring on his other big invention and tell unwanted callers to
please leave a message after the beep.
That convenience alone, screening out creditors and in-laws, was well worth Tom Edison's protean labors. Obviously, it didn't take long for enterprising sorts to realize you could preserve more than a speaking voice with the machine, and that barbershop quartets and symphony orchestras could also be imprinted on the bulky wax cylinders that would eventually be replaced by flat discs. That early techno skirmish was akin to the beta versus VHS wars in our era. Beta was better at reproducing image and sound, as was the cylinder, but the disc took up less room and had twice the capacity, a whopping 4 minutes. The hit pop song was just around the corner, and Paul Whiteman's orchestra had the first million seller in 1919 with a little number called Japanese Sandman. The phonograph was a great democratizing force, as ordinary folks could now participate in culture high and low, a change much akin to the establishment of the first proper concert halls in Europe. Prior to the emergence of a bourgeoisie with surplus leisure and resources, musical performances took place exclusively in palaces and places of religious worship. Over time, the fledgling medium would sound more fulsome and increase its storage capacity even more, reaching its apex in the 1950s with the advent of stereophonic recordings on long-playing vinyl, just in time for Elvis and Chuck Berry. Roll over Beethoven indeed.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter, I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ.
The ensuing digital revolution by century's end resulted in a war between analog true believers and those who defended the mathematical precision of digital recording and reproduction. These neo-traditionalists have now fetishized the old licorice pizza, and major record labels are offering Bob Dylan and Pearl Jam on vinyl as well as compact disc.
Lost John sitting on a railroad track.
But now that the iPod allows one to carry 5,000 pounds of LPs in your shirt pocket without risk of a hernia, the only fear we face is a future generation of headphone-deafened music junkies holding cones up to their ears and shouting,
"Hey, what's that you said, sonny boy?"
Day-to-Day contributor David Was. He's half of the musical duo Was Not Was.
Day-to-Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick. Off tomorrow, back Monday. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone, especially to longtime Day-to-Day engineer Carlos Asensio.
He has got a double feast coming on Saturday. Carlos is getting married. Congratulations and happy meals to all. I'm Madeline Brand.